I would like to take a moment and introduce you to my ministry, The Alternative View, where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity of thought and precision of expression. Yet, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Therefore, I will try to be short and to the point. I know that that's what all preachers or teachers say until you hand them the mic. Nevertheless, I will start off with an alternative interpretation of John 17, 21 to 22. John 17, 21 to 22 says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Often, we define unity based on this scripture right here. Yet, let us take a look at what the very next scripture brings to the table. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. The world will know that we are of God. They will know this by the oneness that we manifest to them. Amen. This goes far beyond what many promote as unity today. This is God's standard of unity. This is the greatest evangelism tool that the church has. Yet, we pour millions of dollars and much effort into other evangelistic efforts while being at each other's throats. When the church is one, the world will be one. The text goes on to say, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them.
Amen.
Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. No wonder we have not made a bigger impact on the world. This is important. Hear this. The Greek word rendered glory in this verse is doxa. Glory is used to express what God essentially is and does in whatever way he reveals himself. Therefore, Jesus is giving us the same glory that his Father gave him. This means that he has given us that divine nature.
Amen.
And the power that comes with it. This is in order to enable us as his followers to walk in this unity. This is the same glory that Moses beseeched that God would show him. Here, God is openly revealing his glory to us. For the Bible says that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. The same glory which God said he would not give to another in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 48:11. Now, here in the New Testament, Jesus is freely offering his and God's glory. There are reasons, but no excuses for the divisions in the body of Christ. Again, no wonder we have not made a bigger impact on the world. This goes far beyond what many promote as unity today. This is God's standard of unity. The focus of this unity is unity with God, not necessarily unity with each other. The Tower of Babel had unity with each other, but not unity with God. As you and I are one. We often talk about unity from the perspective of, I pray that they might be one with each other. Now, I would like to take a turn and talk about as you and I are one. How is Jesus and God one? Jesus and God are one in essence. We are invited into that essence, oneness, or unity relationship between God and Jesus.
Amen, brother.
For the word says, didn't I tell you that you are God's? Wow. Here, you are invited into that essence or godly relationship.
Yes.
Now, I would like to take 6 minutes and begin talking to you about healing. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you know me as Bible teacher Herman Parks, and I would like to take a moment to begin talking to you about 3 days that I spent with God. For the word says that we overcome the devil by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. The word also says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Therefore, I will be quick and to the point as I give to you what God has given to me. About umpteen weeks ago, or several years ago, I had a stroke, and I spent 3 days in the hospital recovering, even as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale.
Amen.
Praise God for his continuous mercy and his grace. God has given me a rhema word to give to you, his church. That word is in two parts. The first part is pretty much a quote from the scripture. Thus saith the Lord, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Either call me God or stop calling me good. Stop living in contradiction.
That's a good word right there. Amen.
Praise God. Now the second part of the word is that just as there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, because the path to the righteousness of God is the same for the Jew as it is for the Gentile. Mm-hmm. That path to the righteousness is by the faith of Jesus Christ. You gave every man the measure of faith, not our faith, but your faith, because our faith was as dirty rags. So you gave us your faith so that we could get to your righteousness. So, we had the imputation of sin. We have the imputation of righteousness. And now, we have the imputation of faith to get to that righteousness. And the heart of the word that you gave to me was, like there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, there is no difference between the word salvation and the word healing, because they are the same word. Sozo. Do not use "if it be thy will" for healing unless you are prepared to use it for salvation also. Do not live in contradiction. Lord, your word says that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be sozo, which means healed. The words saved and healed are used interchangeably throughout Scripture. Lord, your word does not say if we shall confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, and if it be your will, then we shall be saved. Lord, you are willing to save everybody all the time, just as you are willing to heal everybody all the time. If we do not get saved or do not get healed, just maybe the devil meant it for evil, nevertheless, God, you can use it for good.
Amen. Amen.
For why was this child born blind? Or why do people get sick? So that the glory of God can be revealed. So let it be. That was what God gave me to give to you. Finally, I would like to take this last 10 minutes to reveal to you what God revealed to me about revivals versus awakenings. Question. How do we equip the body of Christ with the tools necessary to do the work of the ministry? A word that I heard from the Lord was that a formidable method of equipping the body of Christ with the tools necessary to do the work of the ministry is to equip them with an understanding of the difference a revival and an awakening, so that they might think on these things with clarity of thought and precision of expression. Historically, revivals have been identified by the physical manifestation of the glory of God. That is, the Shekinah, or visible glory of God, or seeable glory of God. That is, revivals have been associated with large-scale, supernatural, divine healings. In contrast, a particular type of revival characterized by the title of an awakening has historically been identified by the mental manifestation of the glory of God. These were a series of revivals representing a period of a religious awakening and reform. They were a series of religious revival that swept over the American colonies that were led by evangelical Protestant ministers. They represented significant changes in the thinking of large numbers of people that were sustained over long periods of time, leaving a permanent impact on American religion. Let us take a moment and look at the first and second Great Awakenings. The first Great Awakening occurred in the 1730s and 1740s. It was about people having lost confidence in the Catholic Church. The Church was telling them that only the priests could correctly discern the scriptures. They were told that they lacked the intellectual ability and the spiritual fortitude to rightly divide the word of truth. Nevertheless, they were persuaded that they were intentionally being deceived by the church. Thus, in the first Great Awakening, they were awakened to the realization that they were graced with the ability to rightly discern the Word of God. The second Great Awakening shortly followed around 1790 and was a Protestant religious revival during which people regained faith in the church's motives in addition to its ability to correctly discern the Word of God. This second Great Awakening gained momentum by 1800. After 1820, membership rose rapidly among Baptist and Methodist congregations, whose preachers led the movement during the early 19th century in the United States. The impact of the first and second Great Awakenings was both awakenings were overlaid with people's change in their thinking and their relationship with their God. The fundamental issue was salvation by grace in contrast to salvation by works. The awakening resulted in a major change in thinking that has lasted till this very day. Yet, as Revelation says, and they did not repent. Large numbers of people did not and will not repent. Nevertheless, large numbers of people did and will repent during these last days. Likewise, large numbers of people will not be awakened in the next great awakening. Yet, those who know their gods will work exploits. Thus, large numbers of people will be awakened. Healings allow us to survive long enough to get to the awakening. We have to keep in mind that the objective is to get to the awakening, to think differently, where you can heal yourself. All too often, great healers like Kenneth Hagin have come to recognize that there is a need for teaching about healing.
Yes.
We know that Jesus never taught healing. He just didn't. Nevertheless, so many false doctrines have crept even into the church. Thus, a need for teaching healing has arisen to overcome these false doctrines. See my teachings on Paul's thorn in his side. Be angry, but sin not. Understanding the Godhead and its relationship to the Trinity, and etc. Far too often, after the healing, the dog would return to his vomit. Or in a more general sense, he would return to his acceptable previous state instead of being a more than a conqueror that he is called to be. These healers had to confess that there was a strong need for people to think differently. Thus, they would begin to teach healing to change the way that people thought about the kingdom of God and their part in its healing. To that end, having done what God has given me to do, I would like to take a moment to conclude with a healing prayer. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us assume an attitude of prayer. That is, stand on our feet, bow our heads, and close our eyes, or look at me as I look at you, if you can. Acts 3:4. Let us pray. Lord, we set aside this moment of our time to thank you for all that you have done in our lives.
Amen.
We thank you for what you are currently doing and what you are yet to do.
Amen.
We pray that we will do the work of the ministry, which is to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And when we teach them, we have set our hearts and mind on teaching them all things. In your name, Lord. Lord, we know that we cannot teach what we do not know. nor can we lead where we won't go. Therefore, we set our hearts and minds on knowing you, Lord. Not just an intellectual knowledge, but to know you as Adam knew Eve. That is, that we might have an intimate and personal knowledge of you, Lord. For the Bible says that all men should study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Likewise, it says, come, let us reason together. The word goes on to say that you have equipped us with the tools to do the work that you have called us to do. For Lord, you said in your word that now all power is given unto us as men, that we might go ye therefore and teach all nations. Lord, your word declares that you sent all men out with your faith. Yes. Not just a measure of faith, but you sent us out with the measure of faith necessary to do the work that you have called us to do.
Yes.
For your word declares that every man is given the measure of faith.
Yes, God.
Then your word goes on to say in Romans 3:22 that the righteousness of God comes by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Not by our faith, yes, but by your faith, Lord.
Yes.
For our faith was as dirty rags.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, you gave,
yes,
or made available to,
yes,
every man the measure of your faith.
Yes, God.
Everything that you did, Lord, you did using your faith.
Yes, Lord.
Therefore, if we have your faith, then surely we can do the things that you did.
Yes.
What things that you did can we do? All things.
Yes.
We had the imputation of sin, not our sin, but Adam's sin. We have the imputation of righteousness.
Yes.
Not our righteousness, but your righteousness. And now, here in Romans 3:22, we have the imputation of faith. Not our faith, but we have access to your faith, Lord, to get to your righteousness, Lord. This understanding that the righteousness of God comes by the faith of Jesus Christ, or salvation itself came by the faith of Jesus Christ. This is the next great awakening. Just as in the last great awakening, we came to the acknowledgement of salvation by grace instead of by works. The idea was always there in the scripture, but we were not always aware of it.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
We resisted it.
Yes, Jesus.
For how can these things be? Even now, we still resist the fact that we have unlimited access to your faith. Not simply a measure of faith, but the measure of faith. But we have access to your faith, Lord. When we use the measure of faith that is given to every man, then we can access the gift of faith, which is available to every man. Your faith will allow us to do even the greater things. Who will it allow? Every man, Lord. When we truly are awakened by this realization and stop limiting our faith by saying, I am simply not there yet, or by saying, you had the full anointing of the Holy Spirit because you were God. Yet, we are not God. Therefore, we only have a partial access to your faith. We can only do some of the things that you did. No. You had the full anointing of the Holy Spirit as a man. You were fully God and fully man. As you were, so are we in this world. Our understanding that we have unlimited access to your faith, Lord, will be the next great awakening.
Yes,
Lord, on another occasion, you told me that if I do not give the people the rhema word that you gave to me, that you were not going to give me another rhema word.
Thank you, Lord.
Like you said to Jeremiah, you said to me, do not be afraid of the people. Do not say that they are not going to see me as a charismatic theologian. Just say what I have already said. The next great awakening will be one such that men, when speaking of us, would say, as they said of you, what manner of a man is this? Even the winds respond to our will, because our will would be aligned with your will, Lord. An awakening such that the devil himself will say, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and now each of you he knows.
Amen.
An awakening such that we can with confidence say, for as he is, so are we in this world. An awakening so that we can with confidence say that the things that you did, we can do also. An awakening so that we can say with confidence that we understand the meaning of the scripture which saith, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods, and God himself hath said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. An awakening so that we might understand the difference between the unconditional authority which Adam had and Satan stole from him, and the conditional authority which angels have, which is contingent upon being obedient to your word. Thus you said, although ye are gods, you will die like men. An awakening so that we can with confidence say, what you, Jesus, said. Yes. Is it not written in your law that I said, ye are gods? An awakening such that we can, without shame, talk about those things that are not as though they were.
Yes.
They are. And expect that they will come to pass before we get to heaven at an age of 120. An awakening such that we can begin to comprehend that because with God there is no difference between a day and 1,000 years. Therefore, we would not be the victims of impatience. Conversely, an awakening that would cause us to realize that also with God, 1,000 years is as a day. Therefore, the thing that we think would take 1,000 years to come to pass may very well happen overnight. Thus, we can look forward to eternity invading time where we don't have to wait 1,000 years to enter into that Shekinah glory, so that your will in our lives is done on earth as it is in heaven. So let it be. Let us go ye therefore and teach all nations. Though this prayer was long, may God bless you for having an ear to hear.
Yes.
May you, Lord, be glorified. May we be edified.
Yes.
And let an alarm be sounded.